This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll hear from State Senate candidate Lawrence Winke. The former Republican state representative is running as a Libertarian in the 20th State Senate District that includes Kalamazoo County. But first, how to improve education is a topic of regular discussion in this state and elsewhere. Bridge, the online news service of the Center for Michigan, is examining what some other states have done in education and what lessons can be learned from them. Ron French is senior writer for Bridge. Ron French, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What states did you choose and why those?
We ended up visiting Minnesota, Tennessee, Florida, and Massachusetts. It was interesting. We looked at a lot of states and a lot of data, and we wanted to look at states that either had high student achievement or fast-growing student achievement. And we're measuring those by the one standardized test that is taken by all 50 states called the National Assessment of Educational Performance. And Massachusetts and Minnesota are very high-achieving, have been for a number of years, and are continuing to increase their scores. Tennessee and Florida, interestingly enough, a decade ago, both had scores significantly lower than Michigan's test scores. Since then, their scores have surpassed Michigan, and Tennessee is the fastest growing state in the nation in these test scores. So something's going on in all of these states, and what we wanted to do is try to look at these states, visit them, and get a sense of whether there are some state policies in place there that are impacting these scores that we might be able to steal and use in Michigan.
Well, let's begin with Minnesota, which is a fellow Great Lakes state. And many progressives here in Michigan have been saying that this is a state that Michigan should look to as a role model. So what is Minnesota doing in broad terms to make their test scores go up? As you say, they're already higher than Michigan's, and they're improving faster than we are.
Sure. Interestingly enough, you would think with Minnesota's reputation as a high-tax state, and it is a high-tax state, you'd think that, well, the answer must be money. But actually, they spend almost identically the same amount of money that Michigan spends per pupil. Their teacher salaries are slightly lower than Michigan's, so it's not money. Minnesota was the birthplace of charter schools, but they have fewer charter schools than Michigan, so it's not charter schools. So what is going on there? There are a couple of things that are unique about Minnesota that I think Michigan can learn some lessons from. First and foremost, they have an early childhood program, which no other state has, where it's universal. Anyone can go to it, no matter how much money you make, no matter what your background, that is for ages birth to kindergarten. And in that program, it's not just someplace where you drop off your kids. The parents come too, and there is supervised playtime with the parent and the child together. And what happens is these certified teachers who are specialize in early learning work with the parents to teach them how to play in a way that helps the children learn. And so really what happens in Minnesota is there's a concerted effort to make parents be the child's first teacher. And it's something that's been going on for 40 years, and we think it has a major impact.
Does Michigan have anything which compares to this? We do know that there has been an effort, pretty bipartisan and across the board in Michigan, to increase funding for early childhood education. Is there anything in Michigan which compares to what they're doing in Minnesota?
Michigan has the Great Start Readiness Program, which is a great program for four-year-olds. It's a program that is specifically for low and moderate income families. It's a great service, and it's very good that Michigan has expanded. What Minnesota also has a version of that. What Michigan does not have is anything of significance that tries to work with children and parents of 0 to 3. And that's something that perhaps we're going to need to try to look at.
So Minnesota and Michigan are spending roughly the same amount per pupil on education. Is Minnesota, though, distributing the money differently? Are they spending it in ways which are different from what we're doing in Michigan?
What Minnesota does is that they funnel more money in a very concerted effort to schools with higher concentrations of poverty. In Michigan, you have a per pupil allotment, which is generally the same across schools. In Minnesota, there is a base of that, but then a school with a high level of poverty could get as much as between $2,000 and $3,000 more per pupil than a wealthier suburban district. And what that does is those schools where there is the greatest need, because, you know, students from low-income families generally struggle more than students from suburban families. So what that does is it allows those low-income schools to hire more staff. One example of a school I visited in Minnesota, they had 26 classrooms, pretty standard type of elementary school, but they had, among that, they also had six teachers that were just floating, that worked with small groups of students. They had two English as a second language teachers full-time, and they had a full-time social worker. And those are seem like luxuries here, but in Minnesota, it's normal.
You also note that if we look at the economic indicators, Minnesota seems to be better off, a much lower unemployment rate, per capita income higher in Minnesota than it is in Michigan. Do the people in Michigan and, you know, any sort of what we could call objective experts who've looked at it believe that those things are linked? In other words, that because Minnesota has made these improvements in their education system, it has led to better economic conditions?
I think most experts say that. Another example of a state we're going to be writing about in the next few weeks is Massachusetts, which had a terrible economy 30, 40 years ago. It has a great economy now. What did they do? They focused their efforts on education. Minnesota did the same thing, and you see the outcome. Minnesota has one of the highest rates of college attainment in the nation. I know that some critics may say, well, as your income goes up, student test scores generally go up. And so is it really fair to compare Minnesota and Michigan at this point? That's a fair criticism until you then look at the scores of low-income students, because they're counted the same, because they're all a free and reduced lunch eligible student in Minnesota is the same as a free and reduced lunch eligible student in Michigan. Their low-income students do much better than our low-income students. So something's going on there, and it's helping their kids. And because they have higher graduation rates, higher college attainment rates, that helps the economy.
Tennessee, on the other hand, is a state which lags behind Michigan on many of those economic indicators. And as you report, the test scores in Tennessee are still below the national average, or below the median anyway, of states across the nation. But those scores are going in the right direction, on their way up. What has Tennessee done?
They've taken a different approach, and this goes to show that there isn't just one answer to this sort of thing, Gordon. What Tennessee has done is a couple of things. One, Tennessee has been very aggressive on high-stakes evaluations, both for teachers and for students. Tennessee retains its third graders in third grade if they're not reading at a certain level. They retain eighth graders if they're not scoring at a proficiency level. They also have a program where teachers can lose their jobs if over a period of several years their students are not growing in achievement as much as they should be. But going along with that, they didn't just put this hammer out there saying we're going to get rid of bad teachers. What they did is in Tennessee, they spent a lot of money on teacher training. That really needs to go hand in hand with a tough evaluation system. That if you're going to say we're going to hold you accountable, you also need to be able to say, here's how we're going to help teachers learn the new standards. Here's how we're going to help them become better teachers. Because, you know, in the end, Gordon, we're all trying to help the students learn more. And so how do you do that? It's not just by threatening teachers. It's by helping teachers become better teachers.
And your reporting actually shows that very few teachers have been fired as a result of these standards, correct?
Yes, and I think that should be expected here in Michigan also. That's what gets the headlines. And frankly, perhaps that gives some incentive for schools to buckle down. I don't know, but I do know that what has really changed the culture in the schools in Tennessee hasn't been the threat of losing jobs. It's been the incredible increase in confrontation that teachers and are having among themselves and between teachers and principals, because part of the evaluation process is a lot more of classroom observation. So, you know, it's the coaching that, you know, that's what's important that has happened in Tennessee.
As you and I speak on Tuesday afternoon, people can go to the Bridge website and read your stories on Minnesota and Tennessee. You do have something coming up on Florida. Can you give us a little idea of what Florida has done in terms of education?
Florida's done a couple of things. One, they were the earliest adopter of something that is very common now, which is linking student test scores to teacher evaluations. And there were pluses and minuses to that. It's still controversial. But the other thing that Florida is really known for and makes a big difference there, you know, Florida used to be ranked in a lot of these sort of rankings, education rankings, 49th. They're still in the middle of the pack, but they've really gone up and they've passed Michigan. What Florida did is they put a huge, massive emphasis on early grade reading skills. They invested a lot of money and a lot of effort and a lot of training into helping kids learn to read by the end of their third grade. And they, too, have a third grade retention program. But the point is that they retain very few because they put this huge emphasis on training. And so that is something that we need to look at, too, is if we think that it's important to read by the end of third grade, then the emphasis isn't about like saying, by gosh, we're going to hold these kids back until they learn. The emphasis really needs to be on how are we going to help these kids. You know, it's extra staff, extra programs, and extra training for the teachers.
So, Ron, you've taken a look at some other states, and of course, you know, the reaction back here in Michigan is to wonder what we should take here. And I guess one thing we wonder is, are there some differences in how states govern, perhaps some cultural differences in other states that might make things that work very well in Tennessee or Florida or Minnesota not work so well in Michigan? Did you find anything in your reporting that indicated that, or do you think that these things are very evidence-based, and if we wanted to bring them to Michigan, we could, it's a matter of political will and perhaps so being willing to spend the money?
Different things are working in different states, but I think you hit on the key there. It's a matter of political will and building a consensus around a reform effort and sticking to it. When I've gone to state leaders in other states and asked for their say, what advice would you give to a legislator in Michigan? They say, come up with a reform, you know, get people behind it and stick with it. This is something that will take 15, 20 years. It will be, it'll go through 2, 3, 4 governors before you really see a massive amount of results. But you have to be willing to stick with it past a few years. So the keys are not that one thing works in each state. It's that all these states, no matter what approach they took, they chose a reform, they've stuck with it, and they've been patient.
Ron French, thank you for your time. Ron French is senior writer for Bridge, the online news service of the Center for Michigan. The Bridge series on education in other states and the possible implications for Michigan is called The Smartest Kids. You can find links to those stories at WMUK.org.